Okay, America? Klaus Brinkbäumer und Rieke Havertz erklären die USA.
Hallo zu Okay, America, dem transatlantischen Podcast von Zeit Online und MDR Aktuell. Ich bin Klaus Brinkbäumer, Programmdirektor des Mitteldeutschen Rundfunks und leider in Leipzig.
Und ich bin Rieke Havertz, internationale Korrespondentin von Zeit Online und Gott sei Dank in Berlin und nicht in Berlin-Kreuzberg, sondern in Dahlem, wo wir heute eine ganz besondere Ausgabe von OK America zu Thanksgiving haben. Wir freuen uns sehr. Wir haben nämlich einen Gast, Amy Gutman, die US-Botschafterin hier in Deutschland, in Berlin. Wir sprechen mit ihr in der Residenz über die Feiertage, über Traditionen, über Thanksgiving, natürlich über Pies. Und vielleicht erzählt sie uns ein bisschen was, wie ihre Traditionen aussehen, ob sie vielleicht neue schon dazugewonnen hat hier in Berlin. Und wie sie sich das transatlantische Verhältnis in der Zukunft wünscht. Und wir sind natürlich sehr traurig, Klaus, dass du nur remote zugeschaltet bist. Aber wir tun unser Bestes, dass du dich auch fast so fühlst, als würdest du Pie mit uns essen. Und nach einer kurzen Vorstellung der Botschafterin wechseln wir für diese besondere Ausgabe ins Englische. Aber erstmal zurück zu dir, Klaus, für eine kleine Vorstellung der Botschafterin.
Ich bin natürlich ein bisschen neidisch. Es fühlt sich aber so an, als sei ich bei euch, Rieke. Ich sehe den Kuchen, na gut, ich gönn's euch von Herzen, wirklich von Herzen. Wir haben hier in Leipzig heute mitteldeutsche Produzentinnen und Produzenten beim MDR zu Gast. Und da konnte ich nicht den ganzen Tag lang aussteigen für diesen Podcast, selbstverständlich liebend gern. Wer ist Amy Gutman? Amy Gutman ist seit Februar 2022 Botschafterin der Vereinigten Staaten in Berlin. Es war ein anstrengender, ich weiß nicht, Frau Gutman, nervenaufreibender Prozess der Nominierung und bis sie dann wirklich im Amt sein konnten. Die Zeiten in Amerika sind polarisiert. Es lag nicht an der Botschafterin, es lag am amerikanischen Kongress. Joe Biden, der Präsident, nominierte Amy Gutman im Juli 2021 und dann blockierten Mitglieder der Republikanischen Partei diese Ernennung, so sind die Zeiten in Washington. Und so kam es dann zur längsten Periode in der Geschichte der deutsch-amerikanischen Beziehungen, zur längsten Periode, in der Berlin ohne amerikanische Botschafterin oder ohne Botschafter war. Am 4. Januar 2022 wurde Frau Gutman dem Senat erneut vorgeschlagen und am 8. Februar 2022 dann endlich bestätigt mit 54 Ja-Stimmen. Das bedeutet also, Amy Gutman leitet als erste Frau im vereinten Deutschland die amerikanische Botschaft. Nach Deutschland zu gehen, ausgerechnet nach Berlin zu gehen, sagte Amy Gutman damals, sei etwas wahrlich Besonderes für sie, denn das gehört zu dieser Biografie unbedingt dazu. Amy Gutmans Vater wuchs in Deutschland auf, wuchs in Bayern auf, um ganz genau zu sein, in Mittelfranken, in Feuchtwangen und floh 1934 vor den Nazis. Er wollte ursprünglich direkt in die Vereinigten Staaten, bekam aber kein Visum, ging dann nach Bombay, damals Britisch-Indien, wo er eine Metallwarenfabrik aufbaute und führte. Und erst dann, viele Jahre später, ging es in die Vereinigten Staaten. Frau Gutman sagte also, ja, es sei etwas Besonderes, ausgerechnet in jenes Deutschland entsandt zu werden. Noch ganz kurz, der biografische Hintergrund ist schon so in wesentlichen Facetten erklärt, aber da ist selbstverständlich noch mehr. Die Eltern heirateten in New York. Frau Gutman wuchs in Monroe im Bundesstaat New York auf. Sie ist, ich schaue sie kurz fragend an, Philosophin, wenn ich es richtig im Kopf habe. Ne? Philosophie war das Fach und dann gab es eine wirklich ja rauschende Universitätskarriere. Präsidentin der University of Pennsylvania war Frau Gutman. Sie wurde in die American Academy of Arts and Sciences berufen, in die American Philosophical Society gewählt und 2009 von Barack Obama als Vorsitzende der Bioethikkommission des Präsidenten ernannt. So viel zur Einführung. Willkommen in Deutschland kann man nicht mehr sagen, Frau Gutman. Dafür ist es zu spät, aber wir freuen uns auf dieses Gespräch.
I'm really thrilled to be here with you and to have you here with me. And it's the honor of my life to be the U.S. ambassador to Germany. It's a tribute, as you suggested, to my father, who had to flee Nazi Germany. And it's a tribute to Germany and the United States today that they're such strong democratic allies, united in many causes. And it's a great pleasure for me to be here to celebrate Thanksgiving with you, our American holiday now celebrated in Germany. So it's wonderful.
And we're so thrilled to have you on this podcast. So welcome to the podcast. We cannot say welcome to Germany, but welcome to OK America. And of course, Madam Ambassador, first things first, pumpkin or pecan pie? Which one is your favorite at the Thanksgiving table?
Well, it's clear that I have to have a piece of each with whipped cream on top, especially on the pumpkin pie. And I never make our guests choose. They always can have both if they like.
And so, as I am a guest here today, I have both a pumpkin pie and a pecan pie. We both have it. And I think we just dig in and have a taste, because I'm normally team pecan pie all the way. Klaus, what about you?
I like the pumpkin pie.
Great. We have two teams. They can compete. I have a quiz for you, too.
Oh, you do?
Yes. When you taste the pecan pie, what's the secret ingredient?
Oh, okay. Let me try if I can do that, Chris, right in the beginning. That's a challenge right there.
I get to taste, too. I never pass up an opportunity.
And Madam Ambassador, do you prefer the cooking or the baking? Turkey has to be on the table for dinner on Thanksgiving? Of course it does.
I learned very early on from my mom, Mom B, to bake. She was very smart. She was if you want children to love cooking, you begin with baking cookies and pies and cakes. So I've always enjoyed cooking desserts, and I have a big, big, big sweet tooth. But roasting turkey is a Thanksgiving tradition. So I also have my favorite recipes for turkey.
So I have to say, both are excellent. And I assume, of course, the pumpkin pie is made from scratch. So, of course, that always shows for like great pumpkin pie. The pecan pie, I don't know, I want to say secret ingredient marzipan, but that is not an American thing. So
nope.
So will you?
Secret ingredient is an American thing, but Germans, I think, would like it as well. Bourbon.
Oh.
It is spiked.
Okay, now, of course, I'm really mad at myself, because I love a good bourbon and I should have tasted that. But that, of course, makes for an excellent pecan pie. So tell us a little bit, what was the Thanksgiving of your childhood? You already told us you learned to bake from your mom. So are there also any German heritage traditions in this very American holiday?
So my mom would pack our house with guests. And we had a small house in a rural area. And we invited everybody possible to our Thanksgiving. We had our city friends and our country friends. And we just had the turkey and the fixings. And we had enough food for an army. And that's appropriate, because the Continental Congress actually began Thanksgiving after the winning of a battle in the Revolutionary War, so it should feed an army. The most German part about our Thanksgiving, which I think is thanks to my dad, was that we never stopped with just the Thanksgiving day. We had leftovers. Mm. We were very, very economical in our family. We didn't have much money, but we always had enough food. And so after Thanksgiving, we would have turkey schnitzel. We would have turkey sausage. We would have turkey stir fry and curry turkey. Thanksgiving brought everybody together. And I think that's what's happening today between the U.S. and Germany. We're coming together. Despite our differences, we find great reasons to be friends.
Turkey schnitzel sounds exciting.
Did you add anything new to your Thanksgiving traditions after you came to Germany?
Definitely. in Thanksgiving today, invite as many German friends as possible. In the times of my childhood, that's not what we did, because my father was still very anxious about Germans. It was way before German unification. So now it's celebrating Thanksgiving here as a time to have our German friends come and sample turkey, but also bring various German traditions with them.
What does this holiday mean to you? You already mentioned your childhood memories, a full house, everybody gathering. Is that something that has still a special meaning to you? Is that why this is such a special holiday for you?
The reason for me that Thanksgiving is such a special holiday is, first of all, Rika, I love feasts. So the feast is important. But we begin Thanksgiving by expressing gratitude, and we go around the table and say what we're thankful for. And we then have a very lively conversation, and every family and every friendship circle has disagreements, but we are very much e pluribus unum. Out of many, we create one. And so we also end Thanksgiving with gratitude, and we give gratitude for the plenty at the table. And it's also teaching younger generations what I learned as a child, which is there's always something to be thankful for. Even in hard times, there's something to be thankful for.
Absolutely.
Is it a day when you actually miss America, when you'd rather be home in America?
Not really. I miss my friends in America, but a lot of them are coming to visit here in Germany. And on Thanksgiving, I really do count my blessings for being the U.S. ambassador here and having made so many German friends, and also having this great team at the U.S. Embassy and in Mission Germany. So Thanksgiving is a time to count your blessings, and I really do that, and I feel very, very thankful on Thanksgiving. I'm always reminded, and I think it's important for us all to be reminded, of how much our ancestors fought and suffered and sacrificed for us. And to sit at the Thanksgiving table and see all of this wonderful food and see all these wonderful people and actually enjoy one another for the day, that's something that just heightens the spirit.
Is there one thing you said you miss here in Germany while you're here for Thanksgiving? I don't know, a pumpkin spice latte or something like that?
No, not a pumpkin spice latte.
That's an awful invention, I wonder.
Yes, that I could. I'm not actually sure I've ever had one, truth
be told. I've never tried it either.
I had one and I never finished it.
You're ahead of me, and I'm not tempted. You know, I always would love, like my mother, to have more people at the table. So I'd love all my friends from America to be here, all my friends from Germany, and just have this endless feast. But reality sets in, and I realize every day can't be Thanksgiving. But every day should have a little bit of Thanksgiving in it. I propose that every day we should end the day with giving thanks for what we have, because these are hard times, and it's important to recognize how much we have. And even the people in the darkest of times, think about Anne Frank, never gave up hope, and they always thought about something that would lift their spirits. And we, and I have to say, as a proud Jewish woman, we have survived, and we have contributed a tremendous amount to civilization and to our societies. And so those of us who are fortunate, as I am, for being the descendant of survivors, we have to teach the younger generations how important it is to count your blessings and to be grateful for all of the people who contribute to what you're your bounty is. I am grateful, for example, as U.S. ambassador, to my German friends who have been so welcoming to Ukrainians, who have stood with us in solidarity, in support of Ukraine, in support of Israel, in support of Palestinian as well as Israeli civilians whose lives are at risk. We have a lot to be thankful for, and I think it would be a grave mistake for us to forget that. So Thanksgiving actually marks a holiday which tells us, be thankful.
Madam Ambassador, you already explained the meaning of being grateful, being thankful. But why did Thanksgiving become the American holiday? Why Thanksgiving? It's even more important than the 4th of July, I would say.
I don't know if it's more important, but it is definitely important because people gather together in diversity. So everybody has in their family a crazy uncle, for example. I did. And they are at the table too, and they tell often jokes that I would never repeat, and luckily I don't remember them, so I don't have to even think about repeating them. But why is that important? Because it tells us that in all of our diversity and our disagreements, we can come together and celebrate something. And that, I think, is a very American spirit. I like to think that's a very German spirit, too, now with the reunification of Germany. And I loved, for example, German Unity Day. It's one of my favorite holidays here in Germany. So Thanksgiving is super important. And historically, it's got an incredible history. I mean, it was, the story goes, celebrated by the pilgrims with 3 days with Native Americans. And then we have this very complicated history of, which we need to remember, of driving Native Americans from their lands, really exterminating a lot of Native Americans who survived despite the awful times. And so this is a holiday that, like a lot of history of our country and of Germany, is very complicated. I'm very proud that President Biden has recognized how important it is to recognize the contributions of Native Americans and in 2021 celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day, created as a national holiday, and appoint a lot of Native Americans to his cabinet, his administration, and so on. But so that's the complicated checkered history, Thanksgiving. There's also a fun part of it. One of my icons, Benjamin Franklin, famously said to his daughter that he didn't think the bald eagle, Klaus, was the right national bird. He didn't propose the turkey as the national bird, but he did say that the turkey is a more noble bird than the eagle, because the eagle's a predator and the turkey is very independent, you know, gets its own food and also liked to attack the British, which was very important during our Revolutionary War.
Since you mentioned the turkey, may I add a question, please? Why does the president have to pardon a turkey? I'm sure Germans are really a little, let me say, disturbed or wondering about this tradition.
Well, Klaus, Enrique, I would love you to answer that question because we don't really know, and I'm not sure the president does either. But I believe, I know that there's this Truman turkey, when Harry Truman pardoned the turkey. He may be the first president to have done that. I'm not sure he ever quite explained it. But we do have now a tradition to show progress in the times that a lot of Thanksgiving dinners, including ours, always have ample amounts of food for vegetarians as well. So the turkey pardoning is a tradition, And the explanation for it remains to be given. So I leave it to you, Klaus.
But I think you're right. It began with Truman, and then he never made it out to be a tradition, but then it kind of like got a life on its own and it continued. But speaking about the fun part of Thanksgiving, and you mentioned the crazy uncle, and I think more and more people nowadays in America acknowledge the checkered history you just talked about, and acknowledging more about the role of the Native Americans during the founding days of the white Americans. So I think that's also due to what happened with the National Indigenous Day and everything. So I think that's a good thing, because for years and years, I remember my college days where there was no talk about that part of the history. So I think a lot has changed. But also, I remember I have my friends call her my American mom. She's a dear friend of mine from Ohio, and I spent Thanksgiving with her years back, and was after one election. She's like, my very old aunt is coming, so please don't talk politics. So everybody's coming together, but please don't talk politics. I'm like, sure, sure, no worries. And then it was like a feast, as you said, all the family, and I was like the German guest, and everybody wanted to talk to me about one thing, politics. So in the end, we disagreed, but then we had a really wonderful evening. And I think that's also about Thanksgiving. You sometimes say, oh, let's not have a discussion, but then you debate. And in the end, you also have still a great day. And I think that's also very special about this holiday.
I think so, too. I think you listen and learn at the Thanksgiving table, but it's not a seminar. It's not required. And I think every Thanksgiving table has somebody, usually one of the hosts, who say, let's not talk about politics, and it comes up anyway. And by the end of the Thanksgiving, we're thankful that we have stuck together despite our differences, or maybe because of our differences. Maybe our differences, I like to think, make us stronger. So I like this Thanksgiving in particular, because for me, it shows the German-American friendship and how we have differences too. Many have been reported in the press. And yet, amidst our differences, we have a stronger friendship, a stronger partnership than ever. And for me, it begins with people sitting at the table together,
having pie,
discussing which pies they prefer. And we also do apple pie. By the way, there are German...
I'm sticking to the pecan with the bourbon, I
good,
have to say.
Good. Very, very good. I'm glad. Can I ask you?
Yeah, sure.
And Cloud, what's your favorite holidays? And do any of them center around feasts? Or
Klaus, do you want to start and then I jump in?
It's Christmas for family reasons. It's not so much religious for me, but it's about the family coming together and my sister coming over from France and everybody connecting, and of course the children being so excited. So definitely Christmas, yes.
My German soul says Christmas as well, but as I consider America to be my second home with my American mom and all my friends and family, it for me, from the American side, it's Thanksgiving, but both for the same reason, because everybody's coming together. You enjoy yourself. You're thankful. I also know that tradition of giving thanks and also saying at the dinner table what everyone is thankful for. And I really like that. And Christmas, just going home to my parents and my sisters there. And it's just all my friends from high school. So, of course, that's, I think, both holidays, just surrounding the people you love around the table and then having good food. What more can you ask for?
It's the recipe for happiness in life, too. Scientists actually show that people who have lots of friends and family around them live longer. They're happier. And so those festivals embrace that. I love Hanukkah. We'll celebrate here at the embassy, which shows how, despite the odds, the Jews survived over and thrived over time. I love Passover and Easter, both have feasts attached to them. And the Christmas markets in Germany are incredible. They're incredible.
Does Christmas play a role in your family? Is it important for your family?
Well, Hanukkah played the role in my family. And we never, because, you know, I grew up Jewish, we celebrated Hanukkah. But now I celebrate Hanukkah as part of my Jewish tradition, and I celebrate Christmas the way you do, Klaus, as a secular holiday for having friends around and good cheer, and also the beauty of Christmas. Oh, my mm-hmm. gosh. It's just one of the most beautiful holidays.
Are you going to be home for the Hanukkah Christmas? I mean, Hanukkah is like a long period of time or a longer period of time. So are you going to be here in Christmas in D.C. or not in D.C., in the States? Or
so here for Hanukkah, and we're going to have a big party. I'm going to host a big party for Hanukkah. Multi-faiths. You can be any faith, atheist. We will welcome you at our Christmas party and sing Hanukkah, at our Hanukkah party and sing Hanukkah songs. And Christmas, I will be in the States, and I'll be back for another one of my favorite holidays in both the United States and Germany, which is New Year's.
We have a lot of festivities coming up.
That's true. Madam Ambassador, we'd love to talk only about holidays, traditions, family, and food, but the times are serious. They are, of course, political. The state of the world, I'm sure, is your topic as well. Times are difficult in Ukraine and the Middle East especially. Can you explain your role in this international crisis? What are you trying to achieve? What are you working on, for example, with the German government?
I am working on, with a wonderful team at the U.S. Embassy Berlin and our five consulates all over Germany, we're working on showing how this strong U.S.-German relationship can make a positive difference in our support for Ukraine, on our support for Israel, in our work on trade and investment to enable both the German and the U.S. economies to get stronger and stronger, for workforce development, to help people and young people and older people alike make a really good living and have the best work environments they can. So all of that is something I work at day to day. And it's not only with the German government, and it's not only with German businesses, but it's also with universities, with young people. I'm starting a Stand Up and Speak Out campaign. And we started it, and it's Stand Up and Speak Out against all forms of hatred. Obviously, Stand Up and Speak Out against anti-Semitism. Stand Up and Speak Out against racism and Islamophobia. And it begins with young people. And so I started the campaign, Klaus, with a high school class and at Meta. And we had a virtual reality of Inga Auerbacher, her experiences as a survivor. And Inga was with me at the event. And she talked about what it's like to combat anti-Semitism and why combating anti-Semitism goes hand in hand with combating all kinds of hatred. And we asked, and I being an educator particularly, was asking the students, do you stand up to bullies when you have bullies in your class? Even if they're not bullying you or your friend, do you stand up against them? So that's part of my work as an ambassador, too. And it's work that brings the values of Germany and the U.S. together to support Ukraine, to support Israel, to support progress towards a two-state solution so the Palestinians and Israel have secure states that they can call their own, to increase trade and investment and job opportunities for our people.
You mentioned your campaign, and you're living in Berlin now. And of course, last couple of weeks, you've seen a lot of emotions running high in Germany with solidarity with Israel, but also with anti-Semitism. And how do you look at the country you're living in right now when it comes to the last couple of weeks and the debate Germany is having with itself also?
I think democratic countries are unique in that they give voice to the whole range of opinions, and that's what we're seeing in Germany and the U.S. I think that free speech brings with it a responsibility, which is to speak responsibly, respectfully, to speak out of kindness rather than hate. So I think what's happening today in Germany is a mixture of what we admire most, which is peaceful expressions of concern, and what we have to fight against, which is voices of hatred, symbols of hatred. And I admire and applaud the German government, and most of all, people in Germany who take on this responsibility, because democracy won't survive unless we defend it. My icon, Benjamin Franklin, famously said when somebody asked him after the Constitutional Convention, what do we have, Mr. Franklin, a republic or a monarchy? He said, a republic if you can keep it. And that means a democracy if we can keep it, if we stand up for its values. That's what matters. And I'm very, very heartened by Germans who recognize that. I'm very, very heartened by the culture of remembrance in Germany. I'm heartened by the rallies in support of Israel and rallies that support the rights of all civilians, Palestinians and Israelis alike, but I'm terribly worried about any expressions of support for Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist organization. It does not represent the interests of the Palestinian people. It is really impossible to make progress as long as Hamas has power towards a two-state solution, and we need a two-state solution in the Middle East. I'm very, disheartened when people speak as if Putin is a good guy in any way. And we have to support the right of Ukraine to be a democratic society and a secure one. So it's one of those situations where democracy is on the line. And democracy may sound abstract, but for every one of us who enjoys Thanksgiving or Christmas or Hanukkah, we have to realize that it's democracy that makes it possible for us to enjoy it.
Madam Ambassador, the most delicate political question is coming up right now, but since you are a diplomat, I'm sure you'll be able to answer it. Election year is coming up in the US. 1 year from now, there will be a decision, I assume. One candidate or likely candidate is 81 years old and heavily being criticized for being too old. The other one is defending himself in several courtrooms. Where will the United States be a year from now? And if you even can add that, what will it mean for the state of the world?
Well, as Joe Biden has often said, never count America out, never bet against America. I am confident that America will remain strong, and I'm all the more confident it will remain strong if Germany and our other partners and allies stick together, as we have against the threat of Putin, as we have against the threat of Hamas, and as we must increasingly do so. So I never engage in the art of prediction, because it's not a science, it's an art. And the art that triumphs over the foolhardiness often of prediction is the art of actually using our own power and influence to defend democracy and to make sure that our future is even better than our present. And that's what my father and mother both did that enables me to be sitting here now and speaking to you. And I think all of us who are here today have to recognize how important, Klaus, it is not to obsess about predictions, but to try to make sure that what I just said, which is that the U.S. and Germany will be stronger the more we stick together and defend freedom and opportunity and democracy, the better. So that would be my answer before I was ambassador, and it's my answer now as well.
It's a good one.
I'm glad you like it, because I think it's true. So
What can I say? I definitely like it. It was more than just being diplomatic, and that's why I like it. Rike, go ahead.
And maybe we can invite you a year from now for another Thanksgiving conversation, and then we can continue this conversation also. And before we need to let you go, of course, everyone who listens to our podcast knows we have a favorite category in the end, because it's our only category. That's why we like it so much. And it's called Get Out, and that's where we make recommendations. And I already can have a sneak peek. You also brought something, so we look very much forward to that. But so here comes our Get Out.
Get Out.
And Klaus, you will start.
Okay, what have I brought with me today? It's kind of a holiday, actually. Richard Ford, his last novel in German is called Valentinstag. The original title was different, though. It was Be Mine. And Richard Ford has written, I think, 5 novels about Frank Bascombe now. Frank Bascombe is his hero. He used to be a sports writer back in the day. Lots of years ago, he's having different and very difficult relationships with his children. He's been divorced. People in his life died, and now he's old, and he's doing one final trip with his son, who is sick. And what they go through at Mount Rushmore, that's where they're traveling to, that's the center of the novel, and it's one I can really suggest. And Rike and Mrs. Gutman?
I, of course, turned over to you first. Madam Amesser, what did you bring for us?
Well, it's wonderful, actually, that Klaus recommended Richard Ford, whom actually Joyce Carol Oates introduced me to Richard Ford. Great novelist. Wonderful. Good taste, Klaus. I brought not a novel, but a nonfiction book by somebody whose 102nd birthday I had the pleasure and honor to celebrate just 2 days ago, Margot Friedlander.
Yeah.
And this book is both in English and in German. And in English, it is Try to Make Your Life. And in German, Versuche Dein Leben zu Machen. And the theme, this is a book about her surviving after she had to, with her whole family, escape Berlin. And all of the rest of her family, her immediate family, was exterminated in the camps. But she made her way out. And Try to Make Your Life is what her mother said to her, the last words that her mother wrote when her mother was scurried off by the Gestapo, never to be seen by Margot again. And Margot thought at the time, is that what my mother has to say rather than I just love you? But Margot took this to heart and has made an amazing life, first in the States prior to coming to Berlin at the ripe young age of 88 or 89, you can calculate how many years ago that was. And she teaches that there is no difference. The blood that runs through all of our veins, regardless of our religion or race, is the same. And why it is so important to recognize that never again is now. And boy, did we have a great time celebrating her birthday. It was just wonderful.
I hope there was pie.
There was definitely, there was a huge cake and pie And I truly recommend Try to Make Your Life.
And what a life it is. And what a
and
suggestion.
What a life.
Yeah, what a suggestion. Thank you so much.
So I wrap it up with the Get Out, and I'll keep the holiday spirit we're in here. And I brought my favorite Christmas movie from the States, and it's A Wonderful Life. So the classic from 1946. It's in German, it's called Ist das Leben nicht schön? And I think it fits into our conversation beautifully because it is about what is important in life. And James Stewart is George Bailey in Bedford Falls, New York, and he struggles around Christmas time, and he thinks he didn't have the good side of the life. And it's a beautiful story about what's important and coming together for Christmas. And I just love this movie, and I always watch it, and I always watch the black and white crinkly version of it. And yeah, that would be my recommendation today.
I love it too.
We all agree on our Get Outs. That's nice.
Und das war's für heute mit OK America. Frau Botschafterin, wir danken sehr herzlich. Es war ein ernstes Gespräch, aber auch nicht nur. Es war das dem Feiertag angemessene, fröhliche Gespräch, würde jedenfalls ich sagen. Thanksgiving Special bei OK America. Eine Freude, Sie in unserem Podcast zu haben. Sie, liebe Hörerinnen und Hörer, hören uns immer donnerstags auf Zeit Online, mdr.de, in der ARD Audiothek, auf allen guten Podcast-Kanälen sowie immer wieder auch sonntags beim Podcast Sonntag von MDR Aktuell.
Thank you so much for having us, Madam Ambassador. It was a pleasure and I hope we continue this next year, next Thanksgiving. Und Sie, liebe Hörerinnen und Hörer, wenn Sie uns schreiben wollen, erreichen Sie uns wie gewohnt unter okamerica@zeit.de. Bis dann.
Goodbye, bis bald.
Bye.
Bye, vielen, vielen Dank.
OK America ist ein Podcast von Zeit Online und MDR Aktuell. Produziert von Pool Artists.